All right. Good morning, good people. Welcome to the BCMD. I guess this would be the fitness installation, right? The wellness installation. And, before I say anything, I just want to thank you all for choosing to be here. The only thing that's better than attending the BCMD conference or being a moderator at the BCMD conference is attending it again and being called back. So I humbly thank you. And thank you, BCMD. Shout out to Pastor Pixel for saying that, you ain't sucked last time, we'll bring you back. So last year was my first year here, and it was an amazing experience. Just to see so many men gather for the same purpose and wanting to get well, wanting to be the best. Now I get a chance to have people like, I remember you from last year. How are you doing? And be able to tap in. So my objective is, threefold. I want, first and foremost, for everybody here to be comfortable. We're all men here, we're all family. I feel like since I've been called back, I'm part of the family now. And once we've connected here, we stay connected. Anybody who met me last year can attest to that. Once we connected, we're connected. So don't feel any kind of way about that. I would want you to remember, consider as I'm yapping up here, what it is you came, why you chose this particular workshop. What you come here for, what did I tell you or say to you or say that either hit you new and fresh, or something that you kind of knew, but now you understand it from a different angle. And last but not least, I want you to remember what it is that you can do with what I give you, with what it is that does hit you fresh, that you can actually say, okay, for the day, I can use this to make myself better. If we've done that, then, I feel like I've done my job, and my objective anytime I interact with you, just for 10 seconds, is just to make sure that before that interaction, wherever you were, you're a step further and closer to wherever you want to be in terms of being your best afterwards. That makes sense? Sure. All right, good. Come on in. So again, today, what I want to do is I want to help show you what I call the BYBD Performance Blueprint. BYBD is my brand, my moniker, my mantra is be your best day. When I say be your best isn't my best. Your best isn't your neighbor's best. Your best is your best. So all it means is if you're better now than you were, say, yesterday, you're better. And the more you continue to stack those days, they become weeks, they become months, they become years. Make sense? All right. So let me just start the clock on me so I don't keep y'all here too long. We're actually starting a little bit early, which is good. So first and foremost, David Cooties, the name my mama gave me, Cootie Mac is the name that I go by professionally. The Cootie comes from my Nigerian heritage, and the Mac, whole other story, they ain't got nothing to do with the BCMD, so I'm gonna
skip that.
Now, how many of us here by show of hands know that exercise is good for you?
Sure.
All right. Keep your hands up. How many people know that nutrition is great for you? All right. How many people of us know that sleep is great for you? There you go. How many people of us know that managing stress positively is good for you? All right, keep those hands up. How many of us exercise as much as we need to? Good, still got some hands up. How many of us eat as well and as clean as we need to? How many of us sleep as well as we need to? I envy y'all. This is a secret weapon, we'll get to that. How many of us manage stress properly, healthy? Good. I know I heard you say you got a boat, so sailing. I did.
Stress is good, my friend.
Oh yes, I believe it. But knowing versus doing, the one thing, every time I give one of these talks, there's no shortage of people that know what they're supposed to do in a general sense. But actually doing it is the challenge, right? And the doing, what makes that the challenge is understanding why you're doing stuff. Like, how does it work? How do these things all gel together? And when you don't know that, as a system, what happens is, even though you know what you're supposed to do, when the pressure comes, you don't do it. So I like to base what I'm talking about not just in my theory. I'd like to just throw a couple scriptures here to just remind you that what I'm talking about isn't just me talking from a scientific standpoint, but it's actually spiritually based. So let's turn to James 2:17, whoever has an app or a Bible handy. James is my favorite book in the Bible. It's like PhD. You know what I mean? No shade to anybody young here, but like when you're young, Proverbs, great book. Great book. Through your life, a great book, especially when you're young. Bunch of lessons. If you don't know where to start, just whatever the date is, if it's April 19th, go with Proverbs 19th. Just read it. You'll come away with something, I promise you, every single time. Now, James is like, you put some practice in, and it's like, okay, you know this stuff, but do you really know how to apply it? Anybody have James 2:17 pulled up? Or can you please read it?
So faith, if it does not have works, deeds or actions of obedience to back it up by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, and dead.
You heard that? So even if you got faith, if you got knowledge, if you're not actually walking it out with a system, what's the last word?
Dead.
Kaput means nothing. Proverbs 21:5. You mind pulling that up? Proverbs 21:5. Kind bars are good. My bad. I didn't even catch you mid chew. All right. 21:5. What does it say?
The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor.
All right. So when you plan something and you're diligent about it, you profit. Reckless with the information? Doesn't matter, right? Knowing versus doing. I'll tell you so many times, again, I talk to people and they know what they're supposed to do, but do they actually do it? No. And the thing is, how many of us remember, it might be right now, how many of you remember when you were in the best shape in your life? All right? A lot of hands up. How many of us are in our best shape of our life right now? Okay, you are? Okay, good. Now, what is it that you're doing that has you in the best shape of your life right now?
I just, all the things you mentioned earlier, but I'm 62, and I just realized, you know, I never had like a midlife crisis or anything, but I realized the importance of my own health and how that will affect my ministry and most of all my family.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, now you're talking. For one of us that said that you know, you remember what it was like when you were in the best shape that you were in, what were you doing then? Go ahead.
I was in Japan overseas and walking easily 10 miles a day. So just my general life habit was much more physically active.
So you were more physically active, you were walking 10 miles a day. There's no shade to anybody. You were walking 10 miles a day. So did you just one day decide, I ain't walking no more?
Yeah.
No, you drifted, right? Mm-hmm. You just kind of went from like, I don't feel like doing 10 miles a day. I didn't do 5. I don't feel like doing 5, I'm going to do 2. You know, at least if I do 2 quick, I'm going to break that sweat. 2 turns into 1. 1, it's raining, it's too humid, and then all of a sudden, you're not where you were when you were in Japan, right? It's the same thing in life, man. Like, we don't just fall off immediately overnight. We drift. And for us, no matter what age we are, life will throw things at you that will cause you to drift. I remember, with me, quick background on me, I was a record label executive, worked in the music business for decades, and then I pivoted into fitness. But that pivot into fitness involved a shift in life. And what happened was, you know, so as I'm in the music industry and I'm touring and doing all these things, you know, meet the girl of my dreams, we get married. Our marriage is like relationship goals. You know what I mean? It's like, not even because we were trying. We weren't putting ourselves on Front Street. We just worked. Right? We just work. God bless. And so, with intention, I'm being the best man I can be, being the best husband I can be, she's being the best wife she can be. And our intimacy was communication. Because initially we started dating, we were distanced. So she was in like Rochester, New York. I was in D.C. And because I was traveling anyway, you know, I just go catch her on my way to and fro, wherever city I was touring. And So as we, you know, as we build a relationship, you know, with intention, God first, the whole nine, we get, again, communication is the linchpin. Eventually, I propose. She says yes. We get married, and things are still rolling. Everywhere we go, we're this shiny, happy, beautiful couple. And then we became parents. And child is a blessing. You know, my daughter is the most important human being to me on the planet. There are things that came along with that around the same time. Actually, I'm speeding ahead. Before that, while we were still married, my father was sick. He got critically ill for a whole year in 2019. In 2019, my father gets critically ill, and he was a guy who used to walk and run 10 miles a day. You know, thought he was watching what he was eating, but he was just kind of going off what he saw in books and magazines and whatnot. He's doing the best he could. And then one day while I'm on tour, I get a call like, hey, where are you? I'm like, you know, I'm in wherever, Pennsylvania, something like that. And he's like, hey, you need to get to the hospital. Like, your dad's in critical condition. Like, you know, we just heard a cold blue, which means he was gone. So I stopped everything I'm doing. Actually, two friends were with me, and they offered to just, you know, because you're too tired, we'll drive you in your car to where you got to go and figure it out once we get there. God bless them. Mm-hmm. And so we get down there, sure enough, Pops is laid up, and that started an ordeal that lasted for 365 straight days. It was the roughest year in my life, so I thought. I saw my father flatline 4 times. And the 4th time that I came up on him, on his home, because we were in and out of hospitals, and I don't think anybody's been through stuff, but hospitals, rehab centers, home care, back to the hospital, back to the rehab center, home care, just 365 consecutive days with me being the primary person managing all of that. So what happens is the 4th time I came up on his home, and what I found was such a gruesome scene that, let me gather myself for a second, forget me. What I found was such a gruesome scene that after I swallowed him up and got into the emergency room myself, I had to hire forensic cleaners to come through his place. Forensic cleaners are the people who clean up murder scenes. I needed that kind of sweep through. Spoiler alert, my dad is doing fine now, thank God. I still manage his health, but he's doing fine. He's healthier than he's ever been. That was 2019. So around February 2020, we get the clean bill of health finally from all the doctors, the kidney doctor, the heart doctor, his general practitioner, I'm trying to think of the people I'm forgetting. So there's the urologist, all of them. Clean bill of health, he's good, just you gotta maintain it from here on out. And I exhale because my soul is vicious. You know, like when you have a boiled egg and you like crack the shell but it doesn't come off? That's the way I felt on the inside. Like just one more thing, it's all about to blow. To my wife's credit, that entire time, she was stalwart. She was as solid as you would want your partner to be. It was tough on all of us. But she understood the mission, and she was just like, you know, handle that. So that's all done. February, kind of get clean bill. I'm like, whew, finally. Every tool I'm about to introduce to you, I had to start to learn. And it was approaching Valentine's Day, and we're on our way to a date. I was a little tired, and I remember we were in the car. And she said something to me, you know, something to me about being unhappy. And again, I remember thinking, like, okay, finally cleared that one hurdle, let me get back to life. And she said something about being unhappy. And, you know, if anybody in here is married or even having a serious girlfriend, you know, if you're smart, you start to pick up cues when, like, when your lady's unhappy or she's just kind of complaining for the moment. And so communication being our linchpin, I figured I understood when my wife was really salty about something. And, you know, let's fix it. She said something about being unhappy. And I'm kind of like, okay, I'm a little tired. I remember that. I wasn't driving. That's why I remember I was tired. I was like, you know, I rarely, you know, so I'm riding shotgun. She says, I'm like, okay, cool. She says something to the extent, on our way into this date, like, you know, and, you know, if this don't get fixed, you know, I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm like, I said, wait, what's you leaving? I was like, leaving to go where? You know? That was my question. I was leaving to go where? But we pulled up to where we were going to a comedy show of all things. So I'm there the whole time, the comedy show just like I don't hear one joke. I'm just like, what did that woman say? I was there the whole time, like, huh?
No.
So went to sleep, woke up the next day, I said, you know, yeah, last night you mentioned something about leaving. Like, where is she talking about going? She said, she looked at me straight in the face and said, I'm talking about a divorce. I was like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, I'm not a dummy. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm not standing on this as, like, as a snob or anything. I was at University of Virginia. I got degrees. Like, I am not stupid. And I intentionally, as a man of faith, walked through my entire marriage from, I'm talking from dating to engagement, the whole thing by the book. And I'm sitting there like, okay, where did I miss this? Right? And so, that's my dad in the top left corner while he's in the hospital with about 100 pounds. So I'm sitting there like, what is she talking about? And when I talk about stress, when I talk about like life, like you're doing the best you can to be the best you can, and it's still not working the way you want it to work. Bro, brother, man. So I'm like, so I do everything you're supposed to do, man. I'm like, at least that I knew to do. I'm therapist for us, everything. And as we're going through therapy, I remember this one session that was so knocked down, drag out. And I'm just taking all the incoming because, you know, I'm on defense right now. And when it was done, I remember being like, whew. I'm looking at her and saying, that was rough. But the good thing will be that when we make it through all this, we'll be so much stronger afterwards. Because we were so bulletproof before. We're going to be so much stronger afterwards that, you know, there will be nothing we can't face. And she looked at me and she said, stop. Again, huh? She said, I know you. And I know that you will fight till you are dead for this marriage. And I am telling you to stop before I start to resent you. Now, I'm going to be clear. This is not to put a black hat on her. I'm going to be very clear about that. I'm just filling my guts right now. But when she said that, you could have just, right there, and it would have felt better. And that's when I kind of knew this was a wrap. It was over. And in those moments where you're, where divorce gets really dark, I don't know if anybody's seen the headline. Now, this just happened. Mm-hmm. Really, this just happened, you know, right? Lieutenant Governor. And we see the headline, I didn't know him. I knew his brother because we're fraternity brothers. So I see the headline, like shot his wife, and then shot himself, mm-hmm. and the kids were in the home.
Yeah.
The kid made the call to 911. At first, I was like, huh? And then I just read one line, going through a divorce. And I was like, oh, I know. I know how dark that gets. And I'm telling you, if not for the grace of God and bring it to where we are right now, a system that I could lean on when motivation and, you know, people rubbing your shoulders ain't enough. If not for a system, I'd have lost it. The system I had gave me just that one, I'm talking the darkest moment of my life. After I just came off of the worst year of my life. And I had one pinpoint of light that kept me, you know, you all know, if you're in the dark, you just light one little light up, it's super, that one little pinpoint of light was the only thing that kept me from just spiraling totally into an abyss. So what I'm saying is, is not to denigrate faith, is not to say that faith ain't enough. I mean, I was reading my Bible every single day. But without a system, it would have actually, it was just bouncing off me because life was hitting me way harder, it seemed, than the word was at the time. So, the good news is, in doing it, in documenting the process, I actually was able to, you know, improve upon a system that I already had. And so I've called it something, so it just makes y'all remember, and it's the BYBD Daily Performance Blueprint. So I want y'all to write this down. Your days will determine your destiny, so design them. Your days will determine your destiny, so design them. The first thing you want to do on a regular basis. Oh, and let me say this really quick. This system, I'm going to explain it over the course of like this whole hour that we have. But when you get it, it only takes like a couple minutes out the day. Because one thing I want to do is I want to make sure whatever solutions that I offer don't get in the way of our already heavy schedules. In the 21st century, that stuff coming at us all the time. So the last thing you need is something that's going to take you all this time to do. I want to make this as simple as possible, all right? And this is wellness, so we'll get to your blood pumping and all that in a second. But I want you to review your win. Whatever your win was for the day, I want you to review it. Just think back and say, okay, how did I win today? Was it coming to BCMD? Was it making it to this very workshop? Was it, not responding in anger like you used to? Whatever your win is for the day, I want you to review it. Anybody have a script, have a Bible, can pull up Lamentations 3:40, please? You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, what you got?
Lamentations 3:40 out of New King James. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord.
There it is. Search and examine your ways, turn back to the Lord. Reflect on what it was that you did. Ideally, every day is a win. Every day is a win. So let's just start there. So worst case scenario, there's always something you can point to, and I'll show you my cheat code a little later, but every day is a win. But think of something that is, and as you go through this system, as I give it to you, I'll show you how to actually be able to forecast your wins a little more accurately, all right? So, review your day, then reset. There's going to be times you're going to get scrambled, discombobulated, you're going to need a methodology to just kind of, okay, hit pause and stop. One of the biggest lessons I've learned over the course of even just last year, recent lesson, is the power of the pause. Just stopping for a second. Because everything is so ready-made. You know, technology is great. All right? It speeds things up. But I honestly believe that our bodies, I do not believe, I know, our bodies, our minds, our nervous systems are not designed to move as fast as technology moves these days. I'm 54. I remember when I was managing this one artist who was he's in his 20s, like old 20s. And we're in the car riding. And as we're riding, really smart kid. And as he was riding, he was doing all this stuff. He was posting social media. He was checking his email. He made a couple phone calls, sent a couple texts the whole time down driving. And at some point, he just stops while we're stuck in traffic and goes, "What's cool? You mean to tell me there's a time when you just be in the car going from one place to the other? And that's all you did?" And I said, "Yeah." Or even when I was younger, just riding my bike to my friend's house. It was a 15-minute ride. All I did was ride my bike to my friend's house. I wasn't checking social media. I wasn't listening to the radio. I wasn't doing anything. We are designed to have space and breaks. And all those spaces and breaks have been closed up by digital technology. Again, I'm not anti-technology, but let's just understand what it really is so we know how to apply it and add it or delete it from our lives. Exactly. There's a lot of distraction. That's why we're at each other's throats these days. We just kind of like, everything's just pinging at us. We don't sit still for a second and say, "You know what? What'd you say? What do you mean? Ah, okay. Well, see, I think, and I mean, ah, okay." What happens now is somebody has an opinion. They throw it out there. The people that co-sign on it gains traction. So now it comes your way, even though you didn't ask for it. And then you get riled up. "Do you believe that they said da-da-da-da?" But when we were younger, man, let me tell you, like, somebody might say something, and by the time it got through the three of us, it'd be like, "That's stupid." And I wouldn't even repeat it somewhere else. But because a hundred people that I don't know go, I had that bonehead idea too. You know, now it's like it got traction and it's going viral. That's why some of the silliest things you think about it go viral. You know, we all have bad ideas. It's just now they get a chance to run free before we even get a chance to edit them in real life amongst people.
It's true.
You know, I've had situations where, you know, I've been on social media and it's like, before I was smart about it, I remember something, somebody said something and we're going back and forth and back and forth. And at some point, not in a challenging way in terms of like physical conversation, but I was just like, I like to talk to people, man. Like, you know, I'll be at Chipotle at 4 o'clock. Meet me there. I don't know if the guy thought it was a threat. But it ended the conflict immediately. The second I was like, you know what, let's just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and that was powerful for me. I was like, oh, this ain't real life, man. So my point is, we want to reset. Hit the pause button. Stop. You'll be amazed at how much wisdom comes through in the pause. Again, I'm 54. We used to write papers. We had to submit a rough draft. Then come back to you. And you would think that you said you wrote the best paper in the world until it came back to you all extra. You're like, I didn't even spell reset right. This says restus. You know what I mean? I'm like, dad, come on. I would have caught that. But by pausing and then coming back to it, all of a sudden you're better. You ever been working on something like math or taxes or expense reports? And you're doing a report, you 2 plus 2, and you can't 2 plus 2, and you can't 2 plus 2, and you just say, ah, you fall asleep on it. And you wake up and you're like, 2 plus 2 is 4. The brain needs a reset. Our bodies need a reset. When you're working out, you're lifting whatever, you max weight, you run in, you pump 4, 5, 6, 7, rack it. Sit for 3 minutes, and the very weight that you could not do 3 minutes ago, all of a sudden, 1, 2, 3, right? The body and the brain are designed to regenerate when you allow it to reset. Romans 12, 12, somebody?
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
You can prove what's good and acceptable and perfect by transforming with a regeneration renewal. That's in the Bible, right? So give yourself an opportunity to regenerate, to renew, and then recover. Recover. Get rest. We talked about sleep at the beginning of the session. Sleep is the cheat code these days. And not just sleep, because sometimes you can sleep, you know, have you ever slept for a whole night's sleep and then woken up still tired?
Yeah.
See, if I was to open my full computer up right now, you'd see that this laptop has about 42 open tabs on it. I'm surprised it's even running correctly right now. It's whirring and making all these noises and it won't send simple emails sometimes. It's because I got it doing so much. Because the way the laptop works is, what happens is, it's got a set of memory in its hard drive. And every open tab, it wants to be ready to deliver whatever you're asking it to. So the more open tabs you have, the more memory is dedicated to each of those tabs running in the background, even though I'm only running one program right now for you all. It's the same thing with your brain. When you go to sleep, if you've got all these open tabs, all these unfinished tasks, things that may even not be top of mind, but they're not completed, and your brain doesn't process them as completed, what your brain does, it's called the Zeigarnik effect. The brain will actually just keep running, keep energy dedicated to that. And that's why when you go to sleep, you can't sleep. That's why even when you do sleep, you wake up and you feel tired, because what it is hitting your stress hormone. So even though it doesn't feel like extreme stress, like, you know, driving, you know, 75 and a 55 and passing a cop all of a sudden, it's still the same effect in your body, cumulative. And what happens with those hormones are designed to help you focus in case of emergency. So you hyper-focus on these things, but you don't know you're hyper-focused in the background. And then, when you wake up, you want to focus on something that you can't. Because that part of your brain is just like tapped out, it's been working all night. So the key is to actually go to sleep in a way that allows your body to get perfect rest. So it's more than just the hours, it's the quality. And let me not put y'all to sleep. So 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, somebody? Okay, yes, sir.
Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were brought at Christ, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yes, indeed. Our bodies are very expensive machines. If a laptop that costs thousands of dollars can't handle all that stuff, how much more our bodies? If your car can't run without a strong battery and gasoline, it's proper fuel, how much more your body, right? And then last but not least, repeat. We need a system that's simple enough to be able to just do over and over and over and over again. When you stack up your best days, those add up to your best weeks. When you add up to your best weeks, those add up to your best months. When you add up your best months, those add up to your best years. You add up your best years, those go to your best decades, and so on and so forth. And at any point in time, you falter, no big deal. Give yourself some grace, start over. That's it, all right? 1 Timothy 4:8. Yes, sir.
For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Exactly. So physical training is great, but if you're not training your spirit, training your body, training the essence of who you are, that physical training will go out the window. There's a million ways to lose weight, a million ways to look, buff. But if you're not working yourself from the inside, your very essence, if you're not cleaning that up first, all this stuff is for nothing. And all that stuff, once you've mastered it, makes you a man that can be counted on. So bring it home to where we are right now, BCMD conference, as men. It's not being chauvinistic, it's just being honest. There's certain things that we're relied on for. When we're young, we're relied on to be great brothers, cousins, friends, employees. When we get a little bit older, we're leaders, bosses, team members, teammates, spouses. So, what I want to give y'all really quick is just a couple bullet points that throughout the course of the day, little checkpoints. You just take a minute or two here and there to do something that will help you anchor your day and build your best day. I want you to be the architect of your best day possible. And then from there, you repeat that over and over again. So, when you wake up, try your best to wake up at the same time every morning. Okay? And you may not nail it, Like I give myself grace on Saturdays, unless I got events like this. I give myself grace on Saturdays to just kind of like, just wake up when I wake up. But every other day, Sunday I got to go to church, Monday through Friday, I'm training people, I've got assignments. So I have a certain time that I wake up that gives me enough time to get ahead of the day before the day gets on me. Now, when you wake up, it's going to be predicated by when you go to sleep. So keep that in mind too, all right? But when you wake up, whatever it is that you do first. For me, I say thank you. I do read a devotion, pray. Gratitude is something that I'm really big on, because when I start from a posture of gratitude, everything else is a gift. And there's always something to be thankful for. Always something to be thankful for. Even if it's just, I got another shot. And sometimes that's what it is. There have been times I've thanked God for air. Straight up, and I'll tell you, I'm bringing sort of secular into, but I was on tour one time, and I remember we ran to this guy, he's dead now, it's rapper DMX. And DMX, he's the one who actually put that in my head. He's like, hey, yo, anybody heard it? Yo, it's like, when last time you thought, you thank God for air? And I'm not looking for a sermon from DMX, but I got him. And I was like, air, what are you talking about? He goes, oxygen. And I was like, he is not wrong. I could not think of the last time he said, man, he said, you can't go nowhere without that. I was like, wow, he's right. And who would have thought? So you never know where the lesson's going to come from. Right? Never know where the lesson's going to come from. But wake up. And then the next thing I want you to do is a super move. So once you've done whatever it does that centers you spiritually, a super move. A super move is a 2-minute move, 2-minute exercise. I'll give you my information later if you want to like really talk nuts and bolts about specific exercises, your conditions, whatever, and then something that matches. But a super move is just 2 minutes every morning, and everybody's got 2 minutes. We spend 2 minutes sometimes trying to figure out what we're trying to look for on Google. So 2 minutes, just set your timer for 2 minutes and go. And 2 minutes of and you can pick your favorite exercise, you can pick one that I'll give you, whatever the case may be. But 2 minutes of movement with intention. You'll be amazed. Sometimes that's the only exercise I get. And I'm a wellness guy. But those 2 minutes are crucial. And it gets the blood pumping. Alright? Next thing I want you to do, juice vegetables. So this is from a nutritional standpoint, if there's one thing that you never learn from me, is this right here, juicing. Bro, what I got here today is beets, cucumber, spinach, ginger. Right? No fruit. Eat your fruit. Eat all the fruit you want to, but don't juice fruit, because fruit will add sugar to the juice. And what happens is, whatever you fuel yourself with, aside from water, to start the day, that breaks your fast. That's why the first meal of every day is called breakfast. Right? So whatever you break your fast with, that's what your body's going to chase for energy for the rest of the day. That's how Starbucks stays in business. You wake up, you get coffee, sugar, so that's caffeine and sugar. And what happens around 2 o'clock? Caffeine and sugar. And if you notice, there'll be a Starbucks in the Target, a Starbucks in the Safeway, a Starbucks outside of the Safeway, in the same mall. And none of them going out of business. Right? Think about that. If you start your day with a Danish or a bagel, late night, oh man, let's eat some crackers and starchy carbs. Sugar, right? You start your day with nutrition, vegetables. And what happens is your body gets the energy that it needs. It cuts all those sugar cravings. If you're trying to lose weight, you know about juice. If you're trying to lose weight, it helps you with that. More energy, it helps you with that. Beets, I like them especially because they clean your blood. They literally will clean your blood, and they give your blood nitrous oxide. So if you're somebody who wants to be active, wants to improve your workout, if you're somebody who just wants energy in general but wants it to be clean from a clean space, it's not stressing your hormones, beets do a great job. I'm going to tell you, cheat code, you're about to go to the doctor for your physical. 3 weeks before that, you should juice every day. Let me start there. But cheat code. 3 weeks before that, now I'm not saying don't eat. I'm just saying make sure you're juicing twice a day, if not 3 times a day, leading up into it. Yes, sir?
And then power, or then just raw beets?
It's raw beets. So I have a juicer. Get a masticating juicer. That's like a corkscrew juicer, a cold press juicer. And if you need recommendations on it, just hit me up. I'll get them to you. When you juice, and so what happens is, because the powders are good if you gotta like travel or something like that, you can't bring your juicer with you, but nothing beats the live juice. And that's a great question, by the way. 10 ounces, yes sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, 10 ounces, first thing in the morning, within 90 minutes of waking up, before you've had anything else to eat or drink other than water. And then another 10 ounces at another point in time during the day. If that's all you did, that's the only advice you took from me today from a nutritional standpoint, I promise you, A, you'll eat better because it's going to make you make better decisions throughout the day because you'll be chasing those other things for energy. B, somebody around you by around day 11 is just going to ask you what you've been doing. Yes, sir.
There's beets, cucumber, and what?
So, thank you for asking that. So, what I have right now, beets, ginger, cucumber, spinach. Base, bare minimum, do cucumber and spinach. Yes, sir.
So you're not saying replace a meal?
Excellent question. No, I'm not saying replace a meal. Think of this, like, when we do vitamins are called supplements, right? Y'all look smart. Somebody tell me what supplement means.
Add to support,
right? Add to, in addition to. You're not doing enough of this, so take this to fill in the gap, right? So what I'm saying is, in some instances, we may need supplements. But most of the time, God's designed us so wonderfully that if we give ourselves what we need, our body's just going to do what it's supposed to do. We just don't give ourselves what we need nutritionally. So give yourself what you need nutritionally first thing in the morning, and the first thing your body will do will thank you. Okay, cool. The second thing your body will do is be, well, if you keep giving me this, and I can trust you to give me this every day, then I don't need to chase that. Not only do I not need to chase that, but whatever is in me right now that I don't need, I'm going to get rid of. Yes, sir.
You suggest organic?
Yes, but I wouldn't get stuck on that. Like if it's a budget thing or whatever, then just make sure you wash. If it's not organic, just make sure you wash it well. But if you can do organic, by all means. I'll get to you in 1 second, sir. Yes.
Questions. How long does it take to clean a juicer, and why not just eat a vegetable?
Okay. Two great questions. Well, he said, how long does it take to clean the juicer? Which is great because if you feel like it's going to take a long time, it's going to be a deterrent and you won't do it. And then secondly, why not just eat your vegetables? So here's the deal. Like you asked before, this isn't to replace anything, so I still want you to eat. Now what you might find when you're juicing is that you're going to feel like you're eating less. You feel like you're less hungry. Because a lot of times we think we're hungry, we're really craving. And we're used to craving because we give ourselves sugar and caffeine, so that turns on craving. When you have nutrition, your body settles because it has what it needs. And when it needs some more, it'll just say, okay, we'll get some more. So how long does it take to clean the juicer? If you have a decent juicer, it shouldn't take long at all. What I like to do, I'll just set the clock for like 12 minutes and go, try to beat the clock. And sometimes, you know, when I first started, I might take like 15. Then it took me about 13. Then I got to 12. Now I can just do it like mindlessly.
Yeah.
And let's say it does take you 15 minutes. What I like to do there is I have a list of people that I just mean to call, talk to, whatever the case may be. And I just call them while I'm juicing. So that way I kill two birds with one stone. So I still, it incentivizes me to do it, even if it takes me 15 minutes, right? But that's why I said cucumber and spinach is a good place to start, because it's simple, it's quick. I want you to be able to get in, get out. Now, there's a bunch of other vegetables you can juice. I just named four right here. But if you do cucumber and spinach, your bases are covered. And then you can kind of enhance from there. Again, I can give you more of that stuff, you know, when we have more time. Or just hit me offline. Now, why juice instead of eat? Juice and eat. Because juicing is the quickest way to get nutrition straight to your bloodstream. That's why I don't know if anybody's here is diabetic or knows somebody diabetic, right? When you go into a little bit of diabetic shock, eat some orange juice real quick, right? Something to kind of get those sugars going. It's the same thing. So we don't want that sugar, we want the nutrition, right? So eat, and you'll find yourself eating more vegetables and enjoying more vegetables when you're juicing. So here's the thing, you can, but and you should. But if you're eating vegetables, what happens is your body takes time to metabolize that stuff. So it's taking time to metabolize it, it's taking time for that energy to convert. When you juice, boom, you got it. 10 minutes, flat. Sometimes you even feel like you're like, oh, okay, all right, here I am, I'm ready. You're right? So juice and eat your vegetables. Cool. You about to ask a question, sir?
Yeah, he asked my question about juices because it takes time to clean the juices. So some, their juicers and their juicers need the ones that are
easier to clean. Yeah, I have a couple just from experience that I like to recommend to people. They don't pay me to tell them, but I got so, like, just hit me up and I'll tell you which one to go for. But I'll also say this, a skillet takes time to clean too.
Yeah.
Barbecue grill takes time to clean too. You know, like, well, man, do we really got to eat these burgers, man? How long is it going to take to clean that grill off? Nah, we just eat these burgers. So think about that, too. That's, you know, we just being honest. Someone asked a question? Yes, sir.
So do you juice enough to, like, cover for a couple of days, or do you?
Yes, indeed. Great question. Yes, do I juice for a couple of days or just juice as I go? I like to juice for time's sake. I do like juicing in batches. Now, if you've got a masticating, i.e. a slow grinding cold press juicer as opposed to a centrifugal juicer, those juices last longer. Get one of those like those water bottles. Some people have these water bottles in here that, you know, you can corkscrew shut. They don't let light in, those aluminum ones. I see them kind of across the room. Put them in there so they stay cold, they stay sealed, light does not penetrate. That will all help the juice last longer. You can usually keep those juices for about 3 to 4 days. You just do a batch. I'll say it in the evening, like I said, call somebody, do a batch. 10 ounces, 2 times a day. So 20 ounces. So like one of those bottles probably holds about 2 to 3 servings. I do like about 2 of those. And I have like 3 days, and then on day 2, to get ahead of it, I juice again. Was this one? And let's see, we talked about cleaning juicers, we talked about, so that's, that, like I said, that right there is the nutritional key. You do that, you will find yourself looking better, feeling better, having more energy, healthier, your blood's going to be cleaner, your doctor's going to ask you what you've been doing, people are going to look at you like, man, what you doing? They're just going to see it in your eyes, I promise you, by day 11. That's been my take. The one thing is that focus, that resets, that, okay, what's the one thing that if I get this done before I go to sleep tomorrow will be a successful day? Anybody had a day where you've done a whole bunch of things, you felt really productive, and then right before you go to sleep, you remember, oh, shoot, I forgot to, and all that productivity that you had just went out the window because that one thing, and now you can't sleep because you just can't believe you didn't do that thing? That thing is your one thing. That one thing can be professional some days, it can be personal some days, it can be familial, it could be an appointment, it could be administrative, but figure out what your one thing is that if you get it done tomorrow, you will feel like tomorrow was successful. A lot of us, I know we're go-getters. We got these lists of things to do that have been running for months, right? Running for months, and we keep starting, but we don't finish any of them. If I can get you to finish just 3 things in a week, you know how further ahead, like finish 3 things in a week, let alone 4 or 5, and then we start working on that best week, best month, streak, right? So know what your one thing is. If you get that one thing done before 11 a.m., you will not believe how powerful you will feel. You get that thing done, like just soup to nuts, it's finished. My taxes, done. You know, that appointment, done. That phone call, the laundry, cleaning, whatever it is, working out, whatever. Get it done by 11, and you'll be like, whew. Now, you don't have to have it done by 11. I'm just saying, if you get it done by 11, you'll see how much of the day you'll just have to just do whatever else it is. But if you're ever stuck, like, okay, what's the one thing I need to get done just to make sure I know today's successful? Know what your one thing is the night before you go to sleep. When you have it done, then when you get to that next night, when you're reflecting, like we talked about, when we're reviewing, you can be like, got it done, right? What am I going to do tomorrow? And you keep paying it forward. Does that make sense? All right, cool. And last but not least, your bedtime. So again, showing you how to be the architect, how to build your day so it's successful. Your bedtime. I mentioned earlier that there's a way to navigate going to sleep intentionally so you have the best sleep you've ever had naturally. So with bedtime, what I want you to be able to do is I want you to be able to sleep effectively. Yes, sir.
I was going to say with the bedtime, the way I work, that one thing, I would be able to go to sleep. I would stay up and accomplish that one thing. So it'd be like 2 a.m. My wife said, I get that thing done. You know, and that's so if I was able to accomplish it by, say, setting other things aside, maybe those other things aren't priority. This is the priority.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that done before 11, I'd be able to go to sleep.
There it is. There it is. 1,000%. You get it. You get it. Yes, sir.
The other thing I would add is I find if I do the difficult things first.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Yep. And a difficult thing usually is the thing. So again, when we have those productive days, we're usually taking the low-hanging fruit. Yeah. Knocking this out, let me do this while I'm here. Oh, while I'm here, let me do this. But those aren't the one thing. That one thing that has you going like, man. But the thing is, like you said, you knock out that thing, especially if you knock it out early in the day. Woo!
Yeah, the other thing is getting started on the most difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a trick to go, I'm just going to work on it for 2 minutes.
I love it. And I love that you said 2 minutes, because I talked about 2 minutes in the morning. Because a lot of us talked about earlier how we're not exercising as much as we need to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to exercise for 2 minutes. And that could be your one thing. You see how we just did that? You see how we just did that? So you're right. Going for that thing. Because even in exercise, when I train women don't like to do upper body work, typically. When I train men don't like to do lower body work, legs, typically. Why? Because men, chest and arms. Ladies, from the waist down, right? So if I get a guy to do legs first in this session, we got it out the way, and now everything else is icing. I get a woman to do bench press first, got that out the way, everything else is icing. And she feels stronger because of it, and he feels better, because he's like, man, I know I haven't done legs in months, right? So, young men, as we're talking about this stuff, these are the kind of habits that will build the foundation that will set you up for success in life. Nail these things and you're good. For the working man, this kind of structure will help you corporately. It'll help you with your job. It'll help you with your families. For the people who are leaders, fathers, spouses, this is the kind of stuff that'll help you not drift. That'll help you set a standard that the people who are looking up to you can go, oh, okay, I get it. He's doing it, so I'm going to do it too. Matter of fact, full disclosure, the reason I even got here, I was training Pastor Dixon. Help that dude just recover all kinds of things with his health. And then from there, it came like, you know what? I need you to talk to my people. So that's how it works, right? And it's not just for me, you know. Because the thing is, if it ain't structured, it cannot be repeated. If there's not a structure. Because, I mean, a lot of us have had great days by accident, right? You know, always can point to a day where you go, oh, man, I killed it today. Right? So having that structure is everything. And making that structure really simple is what I'm here to help y'all with. Let's see. Anybody have Psalm 90:12 handy? Yes, sir.
Psalm 90:12.
I'm sorry.
Teach us to number our days carefully that we may develop wisdom in our hearts.
There it is. Wisdom is doing the right thing at the right time. By tracking your day. By stacking your day. It's in the Bible, yo. Do that, and you are doing the right thing at the right time all the time. Anybody have Ephesians 5, 15, and 16 up? Yes, sir.
Coming out of the NLT.
That's my favorite version.
So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. make the most of every opportunity in these evil days.
Make the most of these opportunities in these evil days. These days are nuts right now. By any estimation, I don't care where you sit on the spectrum. Like, man, these days are just wildly unpredictable. So what we have to do is take control of the pieces that we can't control. Control the controllables. And it says the people who don't do that are fools. There's not one situation that I ever want to be classified as a fool. Not one. And I think that we share some affinity there, right? You know, these epiphany moments that you're having right now, this wisdom's like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how we apply it. Oh, I see what you're saying. All right, cool. So let's do it. And, something I put up there, like protecting energy as a leader. We all are leaders in our respective fields, whether it's socially with our social friend group, whether it's with our family, organization, work. We're all leaders. And as leaders, we've got to protect our energy, man, because it's just being drained all the time. You got to close those tabs like I talked about earlier. When you do those kind of things, it's going to help. All right. Now, if you can stand. You don't have to if you don't want to. But let's say I said, you know what, we're about to do a workout. What would you do? Would you roll your shoulders? Would you stretch? All right, whatever it is you would do, do it. And keep doing it. And keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. There you go.
Those are motivational grunts.
There it is. Yeah, I hear it. That's motivational grunts. Whatever you would do, if I said warm up, go ahead and do that. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Zero pressure. Just keep whatever you do. Just rolling your shoulders, reaching, whatever you do. If I said we're about to work out, just keep doing it. I'm about to show you something. Keep doing it. Yep, keep doing it. 2 minutes of intentional movement is what we're doing right now. Intentional movement. Tiptoes are a good one that people forget about. Just, you know, right up there. Yep. Keep doing it. You're almost done. Keep going. All right, everybody can relax. And you can have a seat. That's an example of a super move. I didn't even tell you what exercise to do. You just do what you would normally do. Blood is pumping right. You're ready for whatever it is. Set your clock for 2 minutes and just do something. Now, you could do a plank. You could do push-ups. You could do jumping jacks. You could do jump rope. You could, whatever. Pull-ups. If you got pull-up bar, that's one of my favorites. They get hard as you get older. Leg lifts. All that stuff. You can do anything. But just for 2 minutes, move. That's the super move. When I talk about in the morning, you do a super move, just do it. 2 minutes intentionally.
Should I do that every day?
Yes, every single day. Every single day. Proverbs 6:6-8, somebody?
Proverbs 6:6-8.
Yeah.
Go to the ant, you slacker. Observe it, its ways, and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it is prepared. It prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest.
See what I'm saying? Creatures move. There's lessons to be learned. Just watch these things. They, like I said, it doesn't have a leader. It doesn't have somebody telling it what to do per se. He's in the sphere like we have, and yet it knows be active. Be active, and you'll be fine. All right, everybody sit up in their chair, feet on the floor, hands on your knees. Nice tall spot posture with your spine. So just a nice tall posture, draw your navel to your spine. All I want you to do right now, I want you to inhale through your nose as deep as you can. Hold that breath for about 2 seconds, and exhale gently like you're blowing out of a straw. Let's do that again. Inhale as deep as you can. Hold that for 2-3 seconds. Blow out the straw. Focusing on nothing other than your breathing pattern. Inhale again. hold that breath for 2 or 3 seconds. Exhale through the straw. How do you feel right now?
Awesome.
Exactly. Remember what DMX said? It was last time you thanked God for air. You can go a month without eating. Some people fast. Some people, you know, we forget to eat sometimes. We're just so busy. You can go a day without drinking water or liquid. It'll be wildly uncomfortable, but you will not die. It'll be wildly uncomfortable. I don't recommend it, but you will not die. What do you think happens when you go 3-4 minutes without oxygen? Oxygen is our primary fuel source. Just sitting still for 30 seconds like we did right now, and you automatically is like, man, I feel better. Because you just fed yourself. Imagine you just did that for 1 minute, twice as long. Ten breaths instead of 4 or 5. 2 minutes. Not a lot of time. Just those 2 minutes, remember?
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes. In the middle of the day, find a minute. Pause and just breathe. So imagine this. You've juiced in the morning. You've done the super move. Halfway through the day, you sat and breathed. See how these touch points, you just felt it for yourself in this session. But every day you can do this stuff. And it doesn't take no time at all. Right?
Throw a cold water plunge in there too.
Yeah, you know, you're not wrong about that. That'll wake you up. You got to get yourself ready for that one. That's cold water plunge for sure. But that's what I call a de-stressor. And at the end of this session, I'm going to give you a QR code. You can pull it up. It's going to ask for your email address. And I'll email you my 6 favorite de-stressors that work in 60 seconds or less to just calm your nervous system down. All right. The bedtime routine, 5 minutes, 3 simple steps. First thing I want you to do, think about your win for the day. If you learned something, if you did something, pat yourself on the back. Think about that win for the day. The second thing I want you to do, identify that one thing, the one forehead slapper that you're gonna get done before the day is over. Right? For tomorrow. And usually, whatever your one thing was the day before tends to be the thing you're going to be patting yourself on the back for night of. Right? That's how we perpetuate this thing, keep the ball rolling forward. But your one thing is for tomorrow. What's the thing I'm going to do tomorrow? I did this today, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I have a to-do list in my phone. I like having it in my phone because I can put check marks and little symbols or delete or show what I've done. And then you can reprioritize. Take a second to reprioritize every day, because every day something might come up that will change your priorities. You know, there might be a bill due. There might be, you know, a recital you have to attend. There might be a work project. So every day, just reprioritize and just say, okay, I don't get that done, tomorrow is going to be, it's going to crash. Right? Yes, sir.
One very valuable thing, small book called The Tyranny of the Urgent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are things that are urgent, but not necessarily most important.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be able to identify what is important as opposed to necessarily urgent.
So the difference between, what you talked about, great point, sir, the difference between something that's important and urgent. Most of our listeners look at them, all these things, to your point, are important. You wouldn't have wrote it down if it wasn't. But there's something that's gonna be more urgent. Like if I don't have no toilet paper,
yeah.
Have you ever used paper?
I'm very bougie when it comes to that. Charmin or bust. All right. And then the last thing, and I like that we're all laughing here, because the last thing I want you to do is to remember something that makes you smile. Before you go to sleep, think of something that makes you smile. It could be a funny joke. It could be an inappropriate joke. It could be your pet doing something stupid. It could be your kid. It could be your favorite memory from, oh man, I remember the first time, you know, the ice cream truck and Jimmy slipped and fell, whatever. But something that actually legitimately will make you chuckle on the inside. If you have that as a last step, and you know, some of us, how many people in here married? Okay, good. Married guys. I'm helping you out right now.
Yes.
Something that helps you smile before you go to sleep. Let that minister. Be like, hey, baby, look, the man told me in church.
He said,
he gave the Bible verse and he told me.
All right, okay. So,
1 Corinthians 14:40, please.
Let all things be done decently and in order.
There it is. They're telling us, man. just do it decently in order. Celebrate yourself, your win, and you can do this every day. What your next one thing is going to be, and smile. If you do those 5 minutes before you go to sleep, I promise you, you will sleep better than you have. You'll set the table for your body to be able to just close those tabs we talked about. You'll sleep and you'll rest. And that sleep will be the most beneficial sleep you'll have. And imagine repeating that night after night after night after week after month after year. And if you forget, perfection is not the goal here. You know, imperfect perfection is way more effective than perfect imperfection. So just keep trying. Just keep trying. All right. Yes, sir.
Can you repeat those three things?
The three things. So, yes. Celebrate yourself.
Celebrate yourself.
Set your one thing for tomorrow. And last but not least, smile before you go to sleep. Are you running up on it time-wise? But I just want you to remember that you don't wake up ready. You prepare to be ready. Be able to see. Be able to see yourself successful. All right? Vision that, honestly. Because what the mind sees, the mind knows, right? Let's go Hebrews 12:11.
Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present or painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
So basically what that's saying is, man, you're going to hate training sometimes. You're going to hate the idea of training. But when you start to do it, you see the reward for it. The reward for it is going to be what glorifies you and glorifies God. As you get that reward, when I hate to run. Hate to run. Hate to run.
Amen.
Hate to run. Guess what I do?
Run.
Exactly. And every time I run, I'm like, I don't know what runner's high. I don't know none of that stuff. What I know is when I'm done, I'm like, wow, I'm happy I did that. I'm happy I got up and went to church. I'm happy I came to this conference. Sometimes it's like, man. But just do it. Like you said, attack that head on. You'll find as soon as you've done it, you'll be like, oh, I don't regret doing this. And then that, remember, you want to remember. That's why you got to reward yourself for doing it. That's why you got to set the agenda. All right? Let's see. And see, because you're needed at your best. My daughter needs me. Right? She's growing fast, too. But my daughter needs me at my best. Your people need you at your best. So what you're learning here is going to have you be your best on purpose. So stay ready. Write this down. Stay ready. Stay reliable. Fulfill the mission. And run it back. If stay ready, stay reliable, fulfill the mission, and run it back. If you're really on your A game and you know what you're doing, you'll be able to help somebody else do it too. And that helps the mission. So each of y'all go tell one or two people what you learned today. You're good to go.